Good morning. This has been a week, maybe a week and a half in the last week, maybe 2 weeks or seven. I don't know. Well, for Jane's purposes, you note how we have the sign across the street, shoulder work. All right. Well, maybe we didn't get it put up there, but I'm so glad that you had it fixed and I'm glad it's healing well. It is healing well, right? Well, it is a journey, but you're not the Lone Ranger. There's been a few people that have gone through the same thing. I say that jokingly. I know these guys do like 400 shoulders a year or 500 shoulders a year. Can you imagine? Can you imagine actually spending your day doing three or four shoulders and then the next day doing the same thing again? Then you throw in a few knees. I'm just so glad it's basic carpentry, right? Doesn't feel like it though. Well, Sunday evening, Ron had asked a question at the end of and remember that like tonight, Sunday evening, 6 p.m., Brother Guy, and it's Genesis chapter 21. Good to go. But Ron asked the question at the end. He goes, you know, what is it that jumped out of this for you? Well, I knew, and then I didn't get to it that night, so I've been waiting all week to come back to this. What to me, Genesis 20 said was, don't mess with the bride. That's pretty simple and straightforward, bride of Christ that sits before me. Don't mess with the bride. It's not the bride standing up, but it's the bridegroom. And I think if I'm going to make somebody mad, it's probably not the Lord Jesus. But I'm pleased to be the bride. I started on Monday, seriously. I kind of took the rest of the Sunday off, and I was praying about where I should be. And you know, sometimes God gives you a word, and sometimes he gives you a word for someone else. Like I always remember that Bob guy who looked at me and said, pointed his finger at me and said, "This is a word from God for you. You need to choose to believe." And it took me about 20 minutes of being on my knees there before I figured out, yeah, I can believe. But God gave him a word to give to me. Sometimes he just gives you words for yourself. And he gave me a few of those this week, and it's been a joy, a joy. But it was for me, so y'all don't get to know about it. But then today's, reflecting through the week for part of this to go on, Wednesday, I love the fact that we got to do the caring campaign, canteen, I'll get it out right, and feed some people. It was good. We fed out of the Salvation Army food truck, but we cooked here. And for those of you that weren't involved in it, I'm going to tell you, we had one of the greatest meals ever concocted by man. We had corn dogs, we had tater tots, fruit cup, and cookies. And somewhere 50 to 60 meals were served. And I confess to you that Treyus and I had a few corn dogs. They were good. It was good. It was a good experience. Reese got to pray with a guy. Some of us got to talk with other people. We sang to, happy birthday to one lady. And towards the end, there was a man not in his right mind or spirit, but it worked out okay. And then we closed up and we took the remaining meals. And we're driving out the road in the tundra. Two ladies, Gigi and Helene, in the back seat, and Ron in the passenger seat. And I got to pilot us. Woohoo! And we're driving out, and I said, "So, does anyone have a word from God on where we're supposed to get rid of these? Because we know we got a couple of good options. We can do housing first, or we can do across the street from the Glory Hall. And if you don't have a word, does anybody have a preference?" And Ron, if you don't know him, he's going to hate that I say this, reflects a lot of a godly thing, humility. And he starts to say, "Well, I really," and he stops. He goes, "No, it's not a word from God." And I go, "I don't have a word either." Neither of the ladies were jumping up. And he said, "Well," I go, "What is it?" And he said, "Well, my preference would be across the street from the Glory Hall." And so, okay. I confess to you, that was my preference too. But anyway, that's where we went. We pulled up, we parked, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, here's our plan of action. Rod and I are going to get out of the truck. And Gigi, if you would be like feeding the cannon, if you would pass the trays, the clamshells of food to Helene, and Helene, if you'll just stick them out the window to us, because I was a little concerned about some safety issues, potentially. And so Ron and I've got armfuls of food, and we're going over, and I stop at this one tent, and I go, "Hey, got some free food out here." And immediately this lady yells loudly, "Don't come in my tent. Get away from my tent." And I'm going, "Okay." So I step a tent to the right, and I go, "Hey, we're here with some free food." And they start coming out for food. And then this lady's husband comes out of the tent, and he goes, "Hey, I'm sorry. My wife was dead asleep, and she thought you were coming into the tent." And that I wouldn't do that. That would be unkind. And he said, "Did you say free food?" So we passed out some there, and Ron's down passing it out. And then we got rid of the 20 meals that we had. I think we could have probably done another 30 meals. And then we got back in the truck and left. And I would think the consensus would be that, well, both places, the more rewarding was probably because we saw a greater need across from the glory hall. But the warming shelter should be opening this week. So our responsibility for part of the caring canteen has ended. But we're thinking, what other ministry does God have for us? You know, there's a thing that, you know, James teaches us a lot, but James teaches us that our faith is incredibly important. But the natural outflow of our faith is good works. And so we need to be able to engage our community in a lot of different ways. But I'm still continuing on leading up to the message. We still had prayer meeting too, right? Right, good. So we were able to do multiple things, and you know, churches should be multitasking. And we know that on Friday night we had the little chili cook-off. I still see Greg with his third place trophy in hand and wrapped in a garland of fake fall leaves. It was a good picture, brother. And it was pretty exciting. The chili was good. All of them were good. And then we came to dessert. And they were all good. And then there was that one in between, because the cinnamon rolls were served with Greg's chili, but they weren't with the pies. So they're special place for people that make good cinnamon rolls. And the pies were good. The chili was good. The fellowship was outstanding. And then in the middle of it, Reese believes that he has a leading. He's supposed to go out and watch Soren play football. Well, I believe that God gave him an impression to go watch football, because out there watching football, and one of Soren's teammates collapses on the field and goes into full cardiac arrest. And Reese, being a person on the scene and paramedic and all that good stuff, does not hesitate and does what he should do, went out, did his assessment, and started CPR. Ultimately, an AED was used 6 times, and the young man was loaded in the ambulance talking when he left, going to the hospital, and he's down in Seattle now. Soren came up this morning and asked that we pray for Louie, so we're going to pray for Louie. We're going to pray for him right now. And I will tell you that it seems shocking to people when youngsters have an event like that. We don't think so much of it when you're 73 and have one of those events, but for the youngsters, it impacts us a little differently. But let's pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, we treasure everything that you do. Thank you for providing so much for us. But Father, in particular, right now, I want to lift Louie up to you. God, I personally don't know him, but God, I want to thank you for him, for the life that you've placed within him. I don't know his spiritual condition, but if he's a Christian, God, thank you. And if he's not, Lord, I ask you to save him. I ask you to move upon him and just point him to you, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you to bless him with your healing. Be our Jehovah Rophi. God, our position. Father, I ask you to comfort his parents and lead them on where they should be and what they should be doing. And if they don't know Jesus, that you bring them in, God. But Father, for this whole football team, I ask you to strengthen them to walk in ways that honor you. Lord, thank you for taking hard situations like this and working it together for good in their lives. And Father, I ask you to fill that team with your Holy Spirit. And Father, for all the people that were there, for those that were shocked and didn't know what to do, for those that did know what to do, thank you for them, and God, point out their own mortality to them too. And show them, Lord Jesus, that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by you. But Father, for Louis, God, I ask you to save him right now. Heal him up even right now and bring him home safely. God, with a testimony that passes all. In Jesus' name, amen. The other thing that happened, of course, that night is because we're all engaged here, and the kids knew about it sooner than anyone, and then shared with us, and we got to pray. We got to pray Friday night and engage that way. And you kind of have a habit when an ambulance drives by, or a police car, or a fire truck with lights and siren going, we pray for them. We pray for the people, the first responders. We pray for the patients, for the victims. We pay for assailants, depending on what it is. And we pray for the witnesses and the people who just stumble on it. Pray for all of them. And then where they're going, if the ambulance comes back with lights and siren, we're praying for the hospital to be ready for them. And that's an opportunity to engage. Friday night was a hard night, but Friday night was a good night. And you should look at this last week as an opportunity to engage, an opportunity to be the church of the living God. And when we're not part of it, when we're not vital to the community, we are allowing the gates of hell to prevail against the church of the living God. But when we, in faith, with God's leadership, engage the community, then we're being a heavenly SWAT team and we're kicking in a gate. And my experience tells me that gates aren't weapons, they're barriers. And God's called us to be a barrier remover. One side note to it is on Tuesday, Evie and I had a lunch meeting with the just out of college student who's the VOAD. And VOAD means, Evie? Woohoo! And she's coordinating that, and the guy is head of the United Way, and he's been doing it. And he asked that if Evie and I would coordinate the faith community portion of the VOAD. So Pat answers to prayers about engaging community. But just be sensitive to where God's taking you. Okay, almost done, and then we'll move forward. We did watch a movie. We watched The Case for Christ. If you want to see it again at some point, I've got it. If you didn't see it and you want to see it, it's a pretty incredible movie. And not to be a spoiler alert, but this guy is an investigative reporter, and he's out to prove why Christ isn't. And here's the spoiler. He got saved. I would recommend it to you. He teaches theology at Houston at the Baptist University. It's a good testimony, good moment for him. I'm just going to go ahead and step on down and not deal with steps and buy trifles. Let's bow our heads again. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. God, I ask you to open our hearts and our heads to what you have for us today. Give us grace to be able to discern, to apply, to walk by faith, not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and by the way, somebody else is traveling this week. Ba-da-bum. So, Pat, at the end, maybe you'd allow us to pray for you. Okay. If you have your Bible with you, If you would turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6, of all shocks. Chapter 6 starts out, and it says, and this is the prophet Micah speaking, listen to what the Lord is saying, okay? And then here's what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. And he's speaking to the nation of Israel, but he's saying, okay, you've got issues with me? Tell me what they are. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. Apparently, Israel is silent. Have you ever thought about this? If God ever gives you the opportunity to voice all your complaints that you have about God, I'm like Israel, I'm going to be quiet. I have no valid complaint against God. And if I think I do, I'm just wrong. I'm wrong. That's that simple. And I think of that first election when I ran for sheriff that I lost. And I think about the next morning when I was sitting in bed. Evie had already gone to work. I took the day off. And I'm sitting there, and I know I've got to talk. So I'm sitting there in my bed, and I go, God, I know what I'm about to say is not the truth. I know that. But I'm going to voice it anyway. And I know I'm wrong, but I know you didn't, but I feel like you let me down. You told me to run for this. And, you know, with that still small voice said a couple things, but one of them was, did you ask if you were going to win? I didn't. But if I would have, and he would have said, you're not going to win, but he still told me to run. Okay, so I still have an obligation, and I'm glad he didn't tell me, because it's so much easier to run with a full heart if you can see the finish line somewhere. But the other one was, so, God, what now? And he said, the race, it's not over. Well, it's after election day. It sure feels like it's over, but I don't say that. I was sitting there pondering what God said. And then here was the result. Okay. If it's not over, it's not over. And I didn't know the horror of what was going to happen. The guy that won, this was November, the guy that won was sworn in for his first duly elected term on January 1st, and on January 10th, he committed suicide. Horrid thing. Then the question came up is who's going to run? And it's done a little differently than a general election. It depends state by state. But I didn't get chosen to run. So the Democrats appointed one person, the Republicans appointed one person, and then three people filed as independent, and it means you had to get signatures to get on the ballot. So there were five of us on the ballot. I had asked God if I'm supposed to do this, and he said yes. And I said, now, Lord, you don't have to answer this, but am I going to win? And he said yes, and I did. So if there were 100 votes, to get 100%, I'd have to have 100 votes. I got 42. Out of a five-way race, that means I cleaned house. I didn't. God cleaned house. And so I changed plans on how I do this. The next time I prayed, am I supposed to run for another term? Yes. Again, God, you're gonna win. Oh, okay. And one guy filed against me, and I won. And then the fourth time to do a third term, I guess the election, I prayed, same answer. Yes, I want you to run. Am I going to win? Different answer. He said, yes. No one's going to run against you. Okay. So then I have to make decisions. Do I believe and receive, or do I doubt and do without? Well, I'm going to tell you that I would rather choose to believe and receive, but I planned fundraisers. I'm a terrible fundraiser. I planned fundraisers. I didn't do them, but I had plans set to go on the day that filing closes. On the day that filing closes, I pick up my cell phone at five minutes after five when filing closed and called Marvin Register, the county clerk. Marvin answers the phone. Hey, Greg, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Nobody filed against you. And I went, praise God. And the Holy Spirit goes, see, do you want to repent now? Because I'd planned fundraisers. I was wrong. Do you really believe when God speaks to your heart? Well, in this it starts off, and God says, stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint that he has against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. Well, it just changed. Now the mountains who were going to witness my complaints against God are now going to witness God's complaints against me. If everything he says is righteous, which it is, that means any complaint is valid. God speaking, oh my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me. For I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Acacia Grove to Gilgal when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness? And the scripture goes on and says, from a heart of repentance, I believe, what can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? And then here's the response. No. No, O people, the Lord has told you what's good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'm always hesitant before getting into this, but in verse 8, when it says, "No, O people, the Lord has told you," that word "told," it literally means verbally, and it means personal to you, and it means that God spoke to your heart. We battle more with the enemy going, did God really say? Or the enemy going, do you really think God speaks to you? Oh, people, the Lord has told you what is good. And by the way, that word good means good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what's right, righteousness, justice, God's justice. And I got to deal with the word justice for a minute. We the church have a tendency to look at justice from the world standpoint and apply God's standard for justice. God's standard for justice is what is absolutely good and right before his eyes. And on the other side of it, man's justice is the political subdivision, be it, in our case, the city and borough, or the state of Alaska, or the United States. Criminal justice means how we, the state, protect ourselves from an individual or a group of individuals. That's totally different than God's justice. And you should never confuse the two. This is speaking of God's justice. When God shows you that something is just or right or made righteous, then it's so. When you are feeling worthless, when you know that you've got sin, you've been regarding sin in your heart, and God's pointed it out to you, and you're crushed. Because I'll tell you that all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's also a point where the enemy can't use that to crush you. He can try. But have you ever looked in the mirror? And I'll tell you, it's got to be better for Rob to look in a mirror than it is for me to look in the mirror and see me. I know what I look like. I do appreciate my bald spot. I appreciate it when the cold wind blows across it. I like that little feel of that place. I do like occasionally to if I go to our Jewish brethren and show up at Shabbat, I do like the fact that my yarmulke or kippah covers my bald spot perfectly. There's things to appreciate about it. But have you ever looked in a mirror and said, God loves you, and believed it? Have you looked in the mirror and gone, I've confessed my sin to the best of my knowledge to God, and He's forgiven me. I'm forgiven. I am a born-again child of the King. Can you receive and believe that God has the ability to forgive you, to fix you, to make you right, to make you clean and pure before His eyes? God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. But you have to accept that. You have to accept that it was sufficient to forgive even you. Because most of us are really our own worst judge. The acceptance of the truth of Jesus Christ and what He says is a huge thing. So if you have Jesus in your heart, you're made clean and righteous and pure before God. That doesn't mean that you can go sin. You shouldn't do that. Why? Because you're a new creature. You're a new creature. But what happens if I mess up? Then you confess your sin, and it's right for Him to restore you in fellowship. But you didn't lose your salvation. You just need to get your heart right again. We in Missouri sometimes talk about Missouri mules, and the old adage was, if you see a mule and its ears are going like this, it's not a good day for the mule. And the appropriate thing to do is take a piece of cordwood and smack it between the ears and get them reset the way they're supposed to be. Sometimes we need to get our ears reset a little bit, but we need to remember who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. But now, because of His grace, when God Himself, God the Father, looks at you, He sees you as pure and clean as His Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, because He sees you through the blood of the Lamb. Seems to me a pretty good thing. So much of what we're doing today is we're doing what I like to now call, we're going to Shema this thing. And this is what it requires of you to do what is right. To love mercy. Now the word love here, it's in the feminine. It's of the bride to the bridegroom. You're supposed to love mercy. You're supposed to love when God extends His favor, His loving kindness upon others. And you're not supposed to be jealous of that. And when it says, and to walk, which is, by the way, what that word means, is to walk with, to pursue, to follow, to be with, to walk humbly with your God. So you're supposed to walk in a way of absolute humility. And the easiest definition that I've got of that absolute humility is when God says you do. When God says you receive it, accept it as absolute truth, and walk in obedience. The word applies really well to what happened when Jesus left the throne room of God to be born of a baby. In many ways, He was humiliated by status. Can you imagine being there and part of when God said, and there was light, and he saw that it was good. When all the way through the Trinity, present together at God and humbling himself to come not as a full-grown adult, but as a defenseless baby, putting absolute faith and trust in God. When's the last time that you look at it and you went and you go, on this, I have put my absolute faith and trust in God? And it's an easy thing to say, and it's a much harder thing to do. When God speaks to you, do you really believe? Do you believe enough to act upon it according to what God's told you? Is that an easy thing or a hard thing? Does it, what if it makes you look stupid? Well, I can tell you to the whole world, to the world outside of Christianity, it looks stupid to follow Christ. But when God speaks to you personally and leads you, are you willing? Are you willing? I'll still remember being a cop in Petersburg and responding to a noise complaint that my wife called in. Didn't know that immediately. And arriving, getting ready to arrive, and just doing my normal little prayer. Okay, God, would you watch over me? And God speaks and says, you'll live through it. Well, that's not what he said before. And that's not as pleasing. Yeah, it'll all be good. All right. You'll live through it. That infers that I'm going to get hurt. At least it seems to me. And I did. But it was okay. It really was okay. A guy got saved out of it. I got to experience a bullet wound. It's really exciting. Yeah, you do. For those of you that have firearms, have you ever cleaned the bore of your firearm? You should. You know, after you shoot it, you should clean it. You should oil them anyway. But I will tell you, it's a very soft bore brush that runs through your arm, but it debrides the wound, and that sounds terrible. It was worse than the getting shot, but it was pretty cool. I hadn't seen that before. But live through it. He was right. Well, what if he asks you something else? Well, what if it's go pray for the guy in the orange shirt? Are you willing to walk up and introduce yourself and pray for him? Or is it just, I'll pray like this? Are you willing to put your feet to the path that God lays before you? This is what this whole section is really about. It's just about walking hand in hand with the Lord. And that doesn't mean Sunday morning. It means every day, all day. And bless Cecile's heart, she had to work this morning. And you know, sometimes you go, I love working for Alaska Airlines. Think of the benefits. You all get to travel. This is good stuff. There's more money that comes in, but it's harder when you got a family and you want to go to church. And everything, Rob, it's always easy to do what you want to do when you're supervising a shift at Lemon Creek, right? Yeah, that was an easy time. Always easy. Not so much. But are you willing? That's the whole thing. Are you willing to put what God wants first? You go, but God, I want. Oh, no, God, what do you want? And I. So, what is it that God wants? I guess we'll just do that. I'm going to give you a cover scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means number one in your heart, number one in your heart is the Lord. Okay, well, we're married. Number one in her heart is not Greg, but it's not supposed to be Evie either. It's supposed to be the Lord. In my heart, number one is the Lord. Number two is Evie. I love you all. You're not my wife. I love her. Love the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so love the Lord with your whole being. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord with your whole heart, your whole being, your entire created being. love the Lord. Secondly, like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And then one more time. So we were at Matthew 22, now we're in John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love each other. Now this is refinement of love your neighbor as yourself. Now this is love the church. Love the church. Love each other. Good heavens, that means we have to love Pat. I do love Pat. It's easy to pick on. I'm just going to tell you, we're supposed to love each other. And is that okay? Is it okay to love each other? That means that not only do I get to love on Al, but Al gets to love on me. And Dora and Yuming and Guy and Sarah and so on around the room. We get to learn how to love each other. Even when you act out, we get to learn to love each other. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are your emotions. Those are your actions that you're supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to be having. And I'll tell you the thing that I've been working on, I think, the longest in my Christian life is not getting angry. And I used to say over not being on time, because I'm an early is on time guy, and I'm married to a person of what's time? Well, what does time mean? That's a four-letter word. What's time? We don't have to be on time. It just means it's an idea to be there somewhere. And I still recall being up at the airport in Petersburg, getting ready to get on a flight with Rod Judy, our bush pilot, going out to Prince of Wales, be gone for a week to preach, and Evie and Josiah are in the truck, everything's late, and we're parked, and I'm outside, and I'm walking around, and I'm praying, being godly, right? I'm praying, right? That's godly, right? What's a good thing? It's not always godly. And I said, God, I this is such a struggle for me. Please don't let Josiah be like me. You know what he said? He said, then you shouldn't be like you. Oh. Again, I'm wrong. Yeah, that's right. You are wrong. So change. He's given you the ability to change and become more like Christ Jesus. But you got to learn how to clench it. Sometimes Oscar does not pay attention. If he gets off his lead, he thinks his nose is in charge of everything. And from his perspective, it is. It's just not right. Sometimes you tend to get upset about that. Sometimes there's always something that someone will do that fires you up. It's not their fault. You have an anger issue. This one is your issue. And you learn to clench it. What you have to do, I pick on anger because it's one of the hardest ones. You know, when it was time to be in love with this woman, it was an easy decision for me. I've got this one down. You know, this agape love thing is a choice love thing. You can choose to love. And I'm not talking about erotic love. I'm talking about choice love. I'm talking about God's ability to choose to love you when you're not very lovable. It was just easy. When I said, first time I said to Debbie, I love you. Like, how can you love me? You don't know me very well. God said she was the one. I'm on board. Okay, I'm on board. Has Evie ever messed up? Well, of course not. Yeah, she does. And I get to choose to love her. And I have to work on this anger thing again, because sometimes you get angry, you know? Well, so what do you do about it? You're not stupid. It starts to come. You clench it. You choke it out. You bury it. You don't bury it and let it blow up. You kill it. And this is really a strange thing that James would write about that. In James 1:20, human anger does not produce righteousness. Well, my anger is righteous. Yeah, want to bet? Want to bet? Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is keep your mouth shut and start looking for root. Why am I angry? Because it's almost never about the issue you think it is. Look for it. Now, if I substitute words, if I take out anger and throw in love, you know, for some obscure reason, it's easy to choke love unless you choose not to and you choose to extend it. You choose to receive it. One of the hardest things for people to do is receive the love of Christ Jesus that he has for you. How much does he love you? Enough to put his life down for you? Enough to go to the cross? Enough to take the weight of the entire sin of the world, past, present, and future, and pay the price for that sin by the breaking of his own body and the shedding of his own blood to fix it all? Because he chose to overcome. He chose. God the Father chose to send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So, wait, what is, what? A perfect heavenly Father sent his perfect only begotten Son to be the sacrifice because he's the only one that's possible to be the sacrifice because he's perfect. I cannot imagine. I've shared the story with our son John when he was assaulted, very close to penetrating enough to kill him. In John's statement, Dad, I don't want this to be the defining moment in my life, but I want it to be the defining moment in the life of the guy who hit me. Because I'm the one who was going to testify because everybody else was out of state. And he said, I want you to forgive him. I want you to forgive him. And I can remember up on the stand next to the judge's bench at this guy's sentencing hearing and realizing how hard the cross was for our Heavenly Father. It's one thing to shed my own blood, you know, been cut, been shot, been hit, you know, okay, you bleed. Big deal. Big deal. Righteous outcomes. Legitimately. But to send your son. That's hard. That's really hard. How could Abraham do that? Because it's really hard. Because of his absolute faith that God would prevail and it would be made right and whole. And by the way, never, when God speaks, never does he let you down. The question is, what do you do? Do you believe and receive, or do you doubt and do without? It's really not complex, folks. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what's good, and that's what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Easy and simple. That means when you decide to pay tourist season prices for crab at Tracy's Crab Shack, and know that you're going to lay down close to $200 for your plate, and you come out of there satiated, your appetite satiated, and you realize that somebody has keyed your car. You know that line I use a lot, you can believe and receive, or you can doubt and do without, from evangelist Bill Stafford. You can whine or shine, I add to it, that's my own words. But I always remember, and we'll close with this, I can always remember when Bill Stafford had the privilege of leading his daddy to the Lord. And Bill was out on the preaching trail, And he comes home and he realizes there's fire trucks all over the place. And he sees that his daddy always wanted a Cadillac, and Bill had bought him a brand new Cadillac. And Bill's daddy is sitting on the steps of his house like this. All the fire trucks are out here, and that Cadillac is melted to the steel of the body in the driveway. And he's thinking, my daddy is a new Christian. My daddy just lost the best possession, that physical possession that he's ever had. And he goes, he was so concerned about his dad's well-being. He comes running up to him and he puts his arm around him on the steps and he goes, Daddy, how are you? And he realized his dad was chuckling. And he goes, Oh, Billy, I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. Can't wait to see what God's going to do next. This past week's been a good week. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. We got two new windows. Yesterday, Saturday. More, two more. Well, that was just yesterday. We've got a bunch of new windows. And L Lisa said it best. It feels warmer in here. That's a good thing. I'm just going to tell you, it's a good week. Next week could be hard. And there were parts of this week that were hard, but think about the outcomes. Think about the outcomes. You know, I don't know. This has been a little, you know, a hard time. Charlie Kirk, this is a hard time. I remember Billy Graham dying. Hard time. One's a murder, one was natural causes. Both are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you think they're hurting? No. And you know who the recent hero is to me? Whew, really recent hero? Erica Kirk. I forgive him. To the man who smacked John with the steel in his hand. We forgive him. Forgive you. Sometimes the harder. Harder the event, the greater the grace. And that's when you just get overwhelmed with the Lord. Do you all recognize that every person in this room who's sitting here right now is alive? Sometime in the future you won't be. You know, and that's why I tell the evangelical pastors in town when we're meeting, and I keep bringing up the fact that I love Ecclesiastes. But all these young pastors don't love Ecclesiastes because it looks like nothing. Why do anything? And I'm just thinking, wow, it's winding down the race before us. And you see that finish line coming. Boy, you look at that and it feels good. You look at it and it feels really good. You know, in Song of Songs, in the first chapter, there's a place where the bride looks at the bridegroom and goes, Where is the shepherd taking the sheep? And then a couple verses later, the bridegroom replies and says, If you don't know, follow the trail to the shepherd's tent. It's a simple thing, folks. God has called us to follow him. Wherever he leads, we go. And I'm going to tell you, this God that we serve is an awesome God. In fact, that's the song we're going to sing because that just worked right really good there. We're going to sing the Awesome God in just a moment. And at the end of that, we're going to have that come up. And you should tell them where you're going, Florida. And what are you going to do while you're there? Oh, and you're going to meet who? No, you're going to meet for the first time. Okay, I should throw that out. That's the part. I think it's going to be a good time for them. But let's pray that not only does Pat have a wonderful time, but she is an absolute blessing to all of them. And a permanent relation binding between that grandchild and grandma happens. Great grandma happens. I get the great in there. Great, 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 great. So if the team would come forward and let's get ready to sing. We're going to sing it. It's short. We're going to sing the chorus only three times and then have a little bar at the end, and then we'll have Pat come forward. So if you'd stand.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God.
Our God
God
is
is
an
an
awesome
awesome
God.
God.
Well, we got through that well. Let's come on up and have a seat, and then we'll pray real quick and then come up and pray over Pat. Father God, in Jesus' name, again, we come to you. And Father, you are an awesome God. And Lord, help us to walk in ways that honor you. God, I ask you to speak to our hearts. And thank you for the grace in advance to do what you say. Help us to be a church that loves to follow you. And God, if we lose track, help us to know where the trail leads. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Brother Guy, woohoo, it promises to be great.